Luke's Gospel, chapter 17. I want to read a few verses to you again from this chapter, Luke chapter 17. And I want to read from verse 26, and we'll read down to verse 30. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man shall be revealed. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Let's bow in a wee word of prayer and ask the Lord for his help as we come to consider God's truth tonight. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for the Bible, the truth of God that is before us tonight. And we pray, Lord, that as we come to consider thy truth, that you would fill us afresh with your gracious Holy Spirit. How, Lord, we need thee. We need a word in season. Therefore, Lord, we pray that you would fill us with the Holy Ghost and with power. And we pray for those in the meeting who are not saved, those who are not ready for the second coming of Christ, those who are not prepared for that coming. Even tonight, Lord, that you would speak to their hearts and that they would make that necessary preparation. O God, we thank thee that we're in the day of grace, and we thank thee, Lord, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, Lord, come now, we pray thee, and speak to every heart. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Jesus is coming again. I wonder tonight, as we're gathered in this church service, do you believe that? The Word of God teaches us clearly about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, as you read through the Word of God, especially, of course, in the New Testament, time and time again, we are told about this wonderful event that's going to take place very soon, I believe. I wonder, are you prepared for the second coming of Christ? If the Lord Jesus Christ was to come tonight, are you prepared? Are you ready? Because the Bible tells us that we must be ready. Be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. My friend, it is imperative this evening, if you're found in this gospel service and you're not ready for the second coming of Christ, that you make that necessary preparation tonight. The Bible says, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes back again, he will come back personally. He will come back visibly. And he will come back bodily. In Acts 1 verse 11, the angel said to the disciples, as Christ ascended up into heaven after his resurrection, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. And just as the disciples stood on earth and watched the Lord Jesus ascend into heaven bodily and physically, so too, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back again to this earth, those who are upon this earth will watch him come down from heaven. My friend, that's a solemn truth. And it's a solemn truth for this reason, because if you're not prepared, if you're not ready, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes down again from heaven to earth, then, as we're going to find out tonight, you will receive the judgment of God upon your soul for all eternity. All eternity. In our reading tonight in Luke chapter 17, the Lord Jesus once again takes up this subject of his second coming. The Lord sets before us here very solemn truths about his second coming. Truths that need to be emphasized and impressed upon the hearts and minds of men and women today. Truths that many today have forgotten, but truths that the minister and the preacher of the gospel must continually bring before those who come to hear him. Men and women, Jesus is coming again. And he's coming again, I believe, very soon. Therefore, it is imperative that if you're not prepared for that second coming, that even tonight, that you make that necessary preparation and seek the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while he is near. As we look at this passage of Scripture very quickly this evening, I want you to notice very simply a number of things about the second coming of Christ. And I pray that the Lord will speak to your heart. I pray that you will listen very carefully to the message tonight, because I believe that the message is for your heart this evening. If you're found in this gospel service and you're not saved and not born again of the Spirit of God, first of all, I want you to notice the signs which will precede Christ's second coming. There are many signs that will precede the second coming of Christ. False Christs will arise and deceive many. There will be wars and rumors of wars. There will be famines and earthquakes. There will be great persecution of God's people. We're not going to take the time to consider all of these signs individually, but if you take the time when you go home and read especially Matthew chapter 24, verses 3 to 13, you will read there about many of these different things that are going to take place just prior to the second coming of the Lord Jesus. And you will discover that many of them have taken place already. But one of the many signs that will precede the second coming of Christ will be the overwhelming ungodliness of that day. And that's the sign that I want to emphasize to you tonight from Luke's Gospel, chapter 17. Take a look what it says in verse 26 again. You see, prior to the second coming of Christ, the Bible tells us here that it will be like the days of Noah and the days of Lot. Look at verse 26. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. Look at verse 28. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. What were the days of Noah like? What were the days of Lot like? What marked out those days as different from any other days? Well, the days of Noah and the days of Lot were days when sin and wickedness had reached a new level. From the fall, there has always been sin and wickedness in this world. In every generation, ungodliness and unrighteousness has been evident for all to see. But there were two times in the history of this world when sin and wickedness reached a new pitch, as far as the scale of man's sinning was concerned. And that was in the days of Noah and in the days of Lot. Now I want you to take your Bible, and I want you to open your Bible at Genesis chapter 6 for a moment. And I want you to see how sin greatly increased in the days of Noah. Just before God destroyed the world in a flood. Look what it says there in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. You'll read these words. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. My, such was the sin and the wickedness in the days of Noah that it repented God that he had created man. Look at verse 6. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And men and women, the consequences of that wickedness in the days of Noah was that God sent the flood, and that God destroyed this world in a flood. But I want you to see how sin increased and how wickedness increased before God sent the flood. Now, turn over in your Bible just for a moment to Genesis chapter 18, and you will see that the same thing happened before God destroyed the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah in the days of Lot. Look with me at Genesis 18, and look there at verse 20, and you'll read these words. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great. In other words, their sin was great, and because their sin is very grievous. And again, you will know what happened to the cities of the plain because of the wickedness and ungodliness of those cities. God judged the cities, and he destroyed them. But you can see how that in the days of Noah and in the days of Lot, sin increased, wickedness increased. Therefore, what Christ is teaching here in Luke chapter 17, turn back to Luke chapter 17. He's teaching this, that prior to his return, the scale and the level of wickedness will increase so that it will be on a level and a scale like the days of Noah and the days of Lot. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. As it was in the days of Lot, even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. My friend, we have reached that time, I believe, in the history of this world when sin has reached that pitch again. I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ will come again very soon for this one very reason, because of the wickedness and the sin of this world. And all we have to do is to look around us, and we can see that sin abounds on every hand. Sodomy has been legalized. God's laws are scorned and despised. Young couples live together outside the bond of marriage, and it's acceptable as normal. Adultery is not counted as sin anymore. Indeed, in this world today, provision has been made for man to fulfill every lust of his heart and mind. And such is the wickedness of this age that all the signs are pointing to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder, as we are gathered here tonight, in the light of what the scriptures say, in the light of what we have drawn your attention to, let me ask you this question again. Are you prepared for the second coming of Christ? If the Lord Jesus was to come right now, how would it be with your soul? My friend, that's why it is imperative that you prepare for heaven and prepare for death and prepare for his second coming. Because if the Lord Jesus Christ comes again, and you're not ready, you're not prepared, then your soul will be lost forever and forever. Indeed, let me repeat that. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes again, when he comes, and you're found outside of Christ, still holding on to your sin, refusing to trust him as your own and personal Redeemer, then you will receive the judgment of God, because that's what the Bible tells us. Because remember this, that God judged the people in the days of Noah. God judged them. Only those who were in the ark were saved. And God judged the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, and only those who got outside the cities were spared. And even some of those weren't spared because Lot's wife turned back and she became a pillar of salt. Only Lot, of course, and his two daughters were spared in the mercy of God. My friend, that's why you need this evening to make that necessary preparation. You need to prepare to meet God. The signs are all around us. And day by day, these signs are being fulfilled. And they're teaching us this simple, vital truth that very soon Jesus will come again. Now, there's something else I want you to notice here. I want you to take a look at verse 24 of Luke chapter 17, and you will see, secondly, the suddenness of the second coming of Christ. Look what it says in verse 24. It's an interesting verse. For as the lightning that lighteth out of the one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so also the Son of Man, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. What's that text of Scripture teaching? Well, it's teaching this, that the second coming of Christ will take place suddenly. You see, the second coming of Christ is illustrated in many different ways, but nowhere is it illustrated more powerfully than in Luke 17, verse 24. When the Lord Jesus illustrates his second coming as lightning, he is teaching us the unexpected suddenness of his coming. Lightning comes suddenly. And the Lord Jesus here is emphasizing to us that when he comes again, that there will be many who will be taken unawares. Unawares. You see, people just don't believe that Jesus Christ is coming again. And many of those who would believe that he's coming again would say, well, he's not coming now. He's not coming at this time. And they believe that they have all their lives to live. They believe that they have plenty of time to prepare for this second coming. But my friend, the truth is this, that no man knows the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Not even the angels in heaven. Indeed, Jesus said, my Father only. And the truth is this, that when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back again to this earth, there will be many who will be taken unawares. Do you ever watch in the midst of a thunderstorm, the lightning? Although you know the lightning's going to strike, you never know exactly when it's going to strike. You can never pinpoint it. You can never say, well, it's going to happen right now. And although in a storm like that, the lightning lights up the sky maybe 100 times in the one night, it always takes you by surprise. I remember many years ago when I was in America, the three of us went up to the Smoky Mountains, and we were coming home, and it was late at night, and there was a storm came. And boy, it was a storm. Nothing like I ever experienced here. And when the lightning struck, it just lit up the whole sky. You would think it was daylight. It only lasted for a few seconds and then it was gone. But every few minutes, the lightning would come. My friend, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back again to this earth, he's going to come back suddenly. Just like the lightning as it lightens up the sky in the midst of a storm, so the Son of God will come very, very quickly. The Bible says in Luke 12, verse 40, be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, Matthew 24, verse 36, Jesus said, no, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 2 says, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Therefore, because of the suddenness of this event, it behoves you and I to prepare for this unexpected event. The second coming of Christ will take place suddenly. It will take place suddenly. My friend, are you ready tonight? I keep on emphasizing that question because I want you to answer it honestly within your own heart and within your own soul. You need to make preparation. You need to make ready. Because very soon, I believe the Son of God will burst the clouds asunder and he will come back to this earth. And when he comes back to this earth, he's not coming back to be born in a manger. He's not coming back to be humiliated by the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He's not coming back to die upon a cross or to be put into a tomb. He's coming back as judge of all the earth. And what a solemn occasion that's going to be, I tell you, for the Christ rejecter. My friend, that's why you need to read your Bible. That's why you need to believe your Bible. And that's why you need to prepare for this event. Now, I want you to take a look at some other verses in Luke chapter 17. I want you to take a look at verses 34 to 36 for a moment, because there's something else we learn here about the second coming of Christ. We learn, thirdly, about the separation that will take place at Christ's second coming. Look what it says in verse 34. I tell you, in that night, there shall be two men in one bed. The one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken and the other left. Two men shall be in the field. The one shall be taken and the other left. Isn't that an interesting collection of verses there? You know what it's teaching us? It's teaching us this, that when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back again, there's going to be a great separation. Now, some people use these verses to teach the secret rapture of the church. But they're not teaching the secret rapture of the church, because there's no such thing as the secret rapture of the church. And if you studied your Bible and knew your Bible, then you would know that. These verses are teaching us clearly that when Jesus comes again, those who are saved on earth are going to be taken up. Not secretly, but they're going to be taken up because they're his people. But those who are not saved are going to be left upon this earth to receive the judgment and the wrath of God. That's what the text is teaching. That's what the Word of God here, I believe, is declaring. One of the greatest blessings upon this earth is having our families around us. I think you'll agree with that. We all take family life so much for granted in this day and age in which we live. But you know, we should never. It's great to have family around you. But you know, there's coming a day when Christ returns the second time to this earth. There's going to be a day of separation, and earthly families will be divided. Earthly families will be separated, the one from the other. Mothers and fathers who are saved will go to heaven. Children who have rejected Christ will be lost. Wives that were saved will be separated from husbands that are not saved. Grandparents who were saved will be separated from grandchildren who are not saved. And this separation will be for all eternity. I believe that's what that portion of Scripture is teaching. And of course, this truth is also taught in many other places in the Bible. Just turn over for a moment to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, and you'll see this again. Again, this passage of Scripture is teaching about the second coming of Christ. The Lord Jesus here is speaking about his second coming. And look what the Savior says in Matthew 25, verse 31. He says this, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left hand." Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you before the foundation of the world. Then look at verse 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. A great day of separation. A great day that will divide the sheep from the goats. Of course, the sheep there are representing the people of God, the saints of God. The goats, of course, are representing those who are not saved. And when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back again, the Bible tells us that he will set up his great white throne judgment. All the sheep will be placed upon his right hand. All the goats, those that are not saved, will be placed upon his left hand. And then, after he has made this great separation, he will bring his sheep to heaven. But those who are not saved, who are upon his left hand side, will be cast out into a lost eternity. Solemn words. But that's what the Bible teaches us about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, my friend, it's a solemn word tonight to your heart if you're found in this gospel meeting and you're not a Christian. You're not a Christian. Just think about it. And I want you to think about it in the light of the second coming of Christ. The Lord Jesus was to come right now. If he was to burst the clouds asunder and come down from heaven to earth, my friend, how would it be with your soul? You're not saved tonight. You would be eternally separated from those in your family who are saved. You would be eternally separated from those that you love. If they're saved for all eternity, that's how serious it is. But that's what Jesus Christ here is teaching. Two in the one bed, but one shall be taken and the other left. Two grinding in the mill, but one shall be taken and the other left. If Jesus came tonight, would you be taken? Taken to heaven? Taken to be with the Lord? Or would you be left to receive the judgment of God upon your soul? My friend, if you're not a Christian here this evening, you need to become a Christian. And if you're not saved tonight, you need to get saved. And if you're not ready and prepared for this wonderful event that we read about here in Luke chapter 17, then you need to make preparation now. And of course, you can make preparation because the Lord Jesus Christ, because of his death upon the cross and because of his resurrection, he has provided a way of escape whereby you and I can prepare and can make ready. That's the reason why the Lord Jesus died upon the middle tree on Golgotha's brow. He died and shed his precious blood in order to provide salvation for the whosoever will. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that means that if you call tonight, you can be saved. If you call tonight, you can be born again of the Spirit of God. But my friend, you need to call. And you need to come. And it's not enough just to come to church week by week. It's not enough just to come under the sound of the gospel and believe what you're being taught and accept what the Bible says. You've got to step out by faith, and you've got to trust the Lord Jesus as your own and personal Savior. I wonder this evening, have you ever trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior? That's how you make preparation, by calling upon the Lord in true repentance and faith and asking him into your heart and into your life as your own and personal Redeemer. And thank God if you do, then you'll be saved. And then when the Lord Jesus comes, you will go home with him to heaven to spend all eternity in the courts of glory. You know, there's no greater blessing in this life than to know that you're going to heaven and to know that you'll never be in hell. Do you know that tonight? If you were to die right now, do you know that your soul would be in heaven? Well, friend, you can know that. And you must know that indeed. But you can know it. Because every person that the Lord Jesus Christ saves, he gives them assurance of eternal life. And you tonight can have assurance of eternal life. And that's the wonderful blessing of God's salvation. Because not only does the Lord save us, but he gives us this wonderful assurance that we belong to him, that we are born again of the Spirit of God. The Apostle John could write in 1 John 5, verse 13, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life." Do you know that tonight? Oh, my friend, I pray that if you don't know that tonight, that you will come and turn from your sin and seek the Lord and find eternal redemption. It's hard for us to imagine what it must have been like the day the Lord Jesus ascended up to heaven, as the disciples stood around and watched the Savior just disappear out of their sight. It was a glorious sight. It was a wonderful sight in many ways. But I'll tell you this, it's going to be a more glorious sight, a more wonderful sight for those who are alive upon this earth when Jesus comes again. I hope I'm alive when Jesus comes again and I'll see him come down from heaven. What a sight that's going to be. For those who are saved, it's going to be a blessed day, a blessed moment. But for those who are not saved, it's going to be a day of terror, a day of judgment, and a day of eternal separation. Would you come tonight? Would you trust him? I pray that you will. Let us all pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for the precious word of God. And O God, we pray that you'll take your word and apply it to the sinner's heart. Those in this meeting who are still unsaved, outside of Christ, held by many a snare. Oh God, we cannot leave them lost and lone. We want them over there. And Lord, I pray tonight that you would reach down and pluck them as brands from the burning. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and no one's looking around, let me just say before we close that salvation is real. And you need tonight to receive God's wonderful salvation. I wonder, is there someone here this evening and the Lord has spoken to you? I believe he has. I believe he has been speaking to you. Maybe you're not saved. Maybe you're a backslider. But you're far away from God. Sinner, backslider, you need to get right with God because Jesus is coming again. If you'd like to speak to us, we're here as God's servant. Maybe you've come with a Christian. Well, you say to them, I want to get saved tonight. You need to sort this matter out tonight. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. And I give you the invitation to wait behind in this meeting. Don't go out of this meeting. The Lord is in this meeting. The Lord has been speaking to you. Don't go out of the meeting where the devil will snatch away the good seed that has been sown in your heart tonight. Don't go out and say, I'll come back next Sunday night or I'll come back another time and get right with God. No, that's not what you need to do because you don't know what will take place in your life before next week. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You need to get right with God tonight. And you need to make your peace with God tonight. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy precious truth. We thank thee, Lord, that when we look around us, we do see sin abounding on every hand. And we're grieved. And yet, Lord, it's a sign of the times. It's a sign that Jesus will come again soon. Because as it was in the days of Noah and in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the day when the Son of Man comes. Oh God, help us, those of us who are saved, not to be discouraged when we see these things happening. Help us to realize that it is a fulfillment of Scripture. It is prophecy being fulfilled. And help us, Lord, to live closer to thee. For in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. 242 is our closing hymn. Sinner, how thy heart is troubled. God is coming very near. Do not hide thy deep emotion. Do not check that falling tear. We're going to sing the first three verses and we'll stand while we sing. 242. Father in heaven, we pray, give men and women, young people, children, grace to come in this day of opportunity. Oh God, we pray that you would save many precious souls for whom Christ died. Redeem them by your precious blood, Lord. O God, we look to thee. Give us expecting hearts in these days in which we live. Send us a breath of revival. We pray now that you'll separate us in your love, that you'll keep your hand upon us, Lord, till we meet again in your will. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen.